The world around us is changing rapidly. Fundraisers and nonprofit marketers like you have to be flexible and innovative to continue to overcome the challenges you face. We're Pursuant, and we're here to provide you with the tools, insights, and strategies you need to get you where you want to go. You're tuned in to the Pursuant Listening Experience. How do you increase student philanthropy in the midst of a global pandemic when the students can't even be on campus? That's the question we set out to answer when we interviewed Kayleen Berwick, an assistant director of annual giving at Winona State University.
My name is Kayleen. I work in annual giving at Winona State University. I am an assistant director of annual giving. I manage our calendar of annual appeals, as well as other annual giving projects, including our athletics club membership drive, and other fundraising projects, crowdfunding, digital initiatives, communications, stewardship, all the different components of annual giving that feed into our fundraising here. I also do some arts administration on campus, and on the side, I work with local arts organizations doing volunteer recruitment and retention and personnel management, event management, etc.
Good for you. How long have you been at Winona?
I started as a student. I was a student all 4 years of school and loved it so much. I came on staff, and I've been on staff now about 3.5 years.
That's great. And how long have you been in fundraising? Is it 3.5 years that you've actually been in fundraising then?
When I was a student, I was actually a student fundraiser in our Phone-A-Thon Call Center program. So it was a really natural transition into a Phone-A-Thon coordinator position for the first couple of years, and I've been in an annual giving coordinator position for about 1.5 years and another about 1/2 year in this assistant director role.
Okay, fantastic. I'm excited then to get your perspective. When you look at the industry as a whole, what would you say is the biggest challenge or the biggest challenges that are facing us in 2021?
Yeah, I think especially with higher ed in particular, my experience has been one of our biggest struggles is recruiting those new donors and getting those young alumni to give. And that's not necessarily specific to 2021, but I think if you add the sprinkle of all the fun we've been having this past year, it just makes it more difficult to kind of address how do we do that? What kinds of ways are we strategizing that? What kind of messaging? What's the theme of our messaging? What is the language that we're using? What are we spinning? What's our case for support, essentially? And what channels are we using? How are we reaching individuals with these messages?
Did you try some new tactics along those lines in last year to try to zero in on those young alumni?
We did. In the midst of COVID, we eliminated our Phone-A-Thon program as well. So it's been a really great year with a lot of pivoting and adapting. We added another appeal to our calendar, so increased from 3 to 4 with a fall appeal that was geared specifically to those former call center donors and a segment of futures as well, future donors, never donors. And we tailored all of our messaging, personalized everything to the individual and based on what their experience and their affinities were with the institution. What college did they graduate from? What extracurricular activities were they involved in? And where had they given before if they had given to the institution before? It was a really big data sort and analysis project, thematically coded all three of those different factors of the relationship with the institution and had 7 different buckets of messaging. And so based on which, you know, categories those 3 items fell into, as it was applicable, we matched a bucket of the messaging with it. And so there were 3 panels on the piece, and we just plugged in whatever correlated with the individual's information. And that ended up being an astounding success, generated over $17,000, which was more than we've had a mailing due in quite a few years. So that was really nice to see. We also prefaced the solicitation with an email letter to donors from our office, letting them know, we closed our call center. You won't be hearing from the students anymore, but keep your eyes out for emails and mailings. We'll stay in touch and share messages from students throughout the year in other ways.
Congratulations. That's great to see the success. Tell me a little more about the segmenting you did. You said 3 different buckets.
Yes.
It sounds a little bit painful.
It was quite an adventure this fall. I remember I had everything ready to go. at the start of the school year with our COVID relief projects, you know, the food cupboard on campus, student emergency relief, international student relief specifically, and leadership decided that there wasn't an astounding need for that being expressed by our student body. So we pivoted our messaging in order to focus on some other needs that the institution had and was facing at the time.
For example, what were those needs?
Back to a lot of our regular university needs, institutional needs. We went back in annual giving, back to a lot of what we knew for our messaging this fall. And so we looked at what do each of the colleges need? What are they working on? What are their messages that they're trying to promote? What are they doing with their students now? What kinds of experiences are they working to provide for their students, whether they are on campus for the few that could be on campus and you know, digitally for the ones that aren't on campus. And so we promoted a lot of what each of the individual colleges were doing. And there was athletics as well, and student life and development, scholarship giving, and a general annual fund, sustaining fund kind of message as well. So we had all of those messages drafted, just a few sentences for each. And then each individual received a mailing with three pockets. And so depending, those pockets were filled with, you know, what college did they graduate from? What extracurricular activities were they involved in? If they were involved in athletics, they got a little athletics box there. If they were in the music department or involved with extracurriculars in science or the arts, they would have that college bucket plugged in. And where had they given before? We had a lot of people that gave to scholarships previously, so they were plugged in with the scholarship specific message. And then individuals that had never given were plugged in with a general sustaining fund kind of message there too.
Yeah, that's great. What I like about that is it sounds like you really tried to understand who the people were.
Yeah. I think personalizing our messaging is really important. It really makes the experience tailored to the individual. And I think the more we can do that, the more likely they are to respond.
Yeah. Well, congrats on the success of that one. That definitely demonstrates it. When you think about new donors acquired in 2020, how did that look for you? Did you see an influx?
It looked not necessarily strictly new donors. We did have a lot of renewed donors, though. Donors who had kind of lapsed over several years came back, and that they came back through that appeal in the fall, making up for the call center. We reached out to former call center donors reaching back FY15, FY16. So we went back several years and were able to recapture donors who were giving regularly, had given once or twice through that phone channel, and capture them in new ways via email and via the mailing.
Yeah, that's interesting because you mentioned that your initial outreach around student emergency fund and, mm-hmm. you know, food pantry and some of the things that seemed immediately imminent didn't really fit your university as well as maybe is, am I saying that correctly?
Yeah. And by the time we focused a lot of fundraising efforts there in the spring and over the summer, and by the time we were ready to transition into our fall projects, we kind of got the message that a lot of students they're not expressing those needs in those ways through those avenues. We're not seeing them emerge in those specific ways. So let's try and meet, you know, more institutional needs.
But what I like was that you were able to communicate, we've got some needs, and one of the results is we actually have to shut down our call center. And I don't know how you communicated that. I'm sure you used better language than that. But but mainly the idea was is that we're not going to be calling you, but it doesn't mean we don't care about you. And so here we are in this new day and age. So it sounds like people really responded to that.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't even a solicitation message, that first email. It was just an FYI kind of deal. And we had several gifts come in response to that email right away. So it was nice to see.
Yeah, that's great. Fantastic. And then I love what you did reaching back to 2015, even to look at the folks that had responded via the call center and try to reconnect with them. When you look back over the year, what was your biggest learning?
I think the biggest learning is just be adaptable, which I think everybody has been saying, and we're probably all sick of hearing it. And we're all getting tired of having to try something new and do something new and just keep thinking of new things. But I think it's really the best way to keep moving forward is just to keep seeing what works and trying new things. And if it doesn't stick, move on and try something else. And if it sticks, try and find a way that you can work it into your regular plans so that it becomes a process and it becomes repeatable and it becomes easier to integrate into what you're already doing, as opposed to making it this whole new effort every single time. With the pre-solicitation message that went out in advance of that fall appeal, gifts came in from that. And so we decided to integrate that into the rest of our appeal planning for the year. And so that's been an easy way to just capture some donors before the mailing goes out. And we save a few cents here and there. And that works for us. And then working with video messages and trying different things there, working with students, working with other staff for internal messages, external messages, and trying different things and seeing how that resonates and how that sticks. What are people more likely to open and click through versus what are they not? My teammate is actually working on customizing links so we can track who's coming in from where. So we're looking at increasing our analytics and enhancing that and what's working, what's not working. And we're also looking at social media marketing and ads and trying to convert individuals that way. And if we're not, if not convert, at least increase that repetition and that visualization and get in front of them more times for them, more exposure. So we're just kind of doing a lot of exploring this year. And I think it's important to just, especially in an age where everything has changed, everything was changing so fast and so often. And then, last year hit and everything changed so drastically. I think it's important to just stay open to new things and then keep trying something new.
Are you asking questions about your fundraising data, but are struggling to find actionable insights? Pursuant's GivingDNA platform is here to help. We combine your constituent data, donation data, third-party information, and tack on augmented intelligence to provide you with insights about who is giving to you, what motivates them to give, and which channels through which they prefer to engage. The platform also comes with baked-in opportunity segments that show you who is most likely to give a large gift, is most likely to lapse, and most likely to give monthly. All this and much more is at the fingertips of fundraisers like you. No IT or data analyst required. Learn more at givingdna.com today.
I like that. It sounds too like as you think about your young alumni and your, that age group, that doing more on digital social media definitely aligns there. What is your perspective on that group? I know a lot of people are researching young alumni, how to connect with them. Uh-huh. And I'd love to hear your perspective on it. I know one of our clients mentioned to me that they felt like they haven't done for years, 10 years or more, a very good job of creating a culture of philanthropy when the students were actually on campus. And so it hasn't translated well as they've left and, said goodbye. They're really not looking back. It's been a challenge. I wonder what your perspective is on.
I actually did my master's thesis on student engagement in philanthropy and studying how, because I had the same experience here, as a student, I didn't know anything about the foundation aside from my involvement with the call center. And had I not been involved with the call center, I wouldn't have known anything. So I did my research and my writing project a couple years ago now on that topic and just talking with my student fundraisers about what their experience was like and how it shapes their perspective on giving as alumni down the road. And it was really interesting to see. It is hard. There isn't a big culture of philanthropy here at this institution. It's difficult to see that among our students. And I think at a lot of public institutions, it's difficult because there's that perception that it's a state school, the state funds it, but we all know that's not exactly the case. and it's hard to communicate that. I feel in public institutions, it's a little bit harder to get that message across and to get that in front of our students. So I think it's a matter in our institution, we have our marketing and communications team that really gears their messaging very heavily to current students and prospective students. And so we're working, part of our social media projects is to engage more collaboratively with that office across the hall and get in front of their audience of students more prominently, because we know a lot of our young alumni got connected online with the institution through those channels. And so that's where a lot of our young alumni exist as well. And so if we can partner with them to share messages about philanthropy on campus and what philanthropic activity looks like, what have our donors done for the institution and for students, and how do their gifts show up every day on campus? Just to kind of share more informational messages and get the awareness up to increase the success of solicitations down the road.
Yeah, that's great. Fascinating to hear you did your research on that. Are there other things? Because, you know, we know that they're always on their phone, you know, texting, for example. Yeah. Do you have text to give? Have you implemented that?
We don't. We haven't been able to have a good platform and make sure we have the integrity in our database to make that successful as well. We have done giving days in the past. We're taking a year off to re-strategize how we approach our giving days. But we did see a lot of new donors come in and younger donors come in through those efforts, and the success, I mean, they were successful where there was support from the faculty and from the units on campus. So I think it's really important to have that ground level grassroots support and build up, because where we saw more engagement on that side was where we saw more success on the young alumni and more donors and more dollars raised, frankly. So that's why we're kind of taking a step back this year, taking a break to look at how do we increase that grassroots support in other areas on campus and make sure that we have buy-in and support from leadership and from the units and from the departments to make sure that, you know, the efforts are as successful as they can be and that the departments and the units are getting the support that they need.
Yeah, totally makes sense. So, you know, the ways you're reaching out and connecting with folks, developing a culture of analytics, and I'm just wondering if there was anything else that you learned in your research or that you're thinking about testing with that particular group. I guess what I'm thinking is that they seem to be very cause oriented.
Yeah.
So if they connect with a cause, you know, there's that emotional, like, I'm in for this, but they're there.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if there's, I'm just talking off the top of my head now, but, you know, to craft a message that communicates something that really resonates emotionally with them.
Yeah. I think going back to using the information you have and trying to understand their experiences and their perspective and their affiliation with the institution in order to build that strong case, like personalizing that message like we did this fall, it was engaging our institutional understanding of what the individual relationship was like with the institution. You know, we only have so much of data available to us. So I think the more data we can capture about our students and what they're doing here, the more we have available, the better positioned we are to speak to their experiences. You know, if we know they were involved with the music department and they have a degree in biology, we are more likely to reach them with messages that matter to them. And I think that's really tying it all together, and data management and the analytics, personalization and the channels, and increasing that awareness earlier on too. I think it all plays together.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Well, that's so great. Tell me what I'm on the data side of stuff. So I'm like, yes, she just said data and analytics and messaging and personalizing. What's your database?
We use Raiser's Edge.
Okay. Do you use NXT or?
Yes, we actually, we do.
Okay, great. And what other tools are you using? Doing anything with predictive modeling or, you know, data visualizations or any of that stuff?
Yeah, we have done some exploring with FPM, Blackbaud's FPM, formerly Rehr, with some of that wealth screening and scoring, but I don't think we're going to be keeping with that. So we're looking at different ways to, I think we have some wealth screening coming up through Blackbaud soon that they'll be sending in for. And other than that, we're looking at Research Point as well, which I imagine is another Blackbaud affiliate.
Excellent. Well, I do a lot of work with clients on the data side of things. So would love to explore that with you perhaps at a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has been awesome. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It was fun to talk about it.
Yeah. It was fun for me to hear, you know, some of your successes and how taking a step back and pausing and saying, okay, we have to shut down the phone-a-thon, which, you know, ironically, we're seeing more and more people picking up the phone. So really? In some ways it's sad that you know, had to do that because people are cooped up and at home and, you know, ready to talk. but you found another way. So congratulations. Yeah.